This is Dr. Feelgood from the Institute for the Not Yet Mentally Insane, here to warn you about potential side effects that listening to Nightmares with Malice Cooper may cause. You can suffer breaking out in a cold sweat, difficulty breathing, erectile dysfunction, bedwetting, violent convulsions, decrease in brain cells, random bowel movements, stroke, loss of hair, loss of consciousness and or sanity, and last but not least, possible death. If you suffer from any of these, please seek medical attention. But as always, keep it tuned in right here to Nightmares with Malice Cooper.
I guess I can be. I don't know. It's possible. I have a right to be. Or something. I don't know. Stephen's gonna call me in any second now. And he's gonna tell me all about these book signings. He's gone on just a slew of them lately. A ton of them. So he's got... Nightmares of Malice Cooper.
Hey, Malice, it's Stephen.
Hey! I was just telling him, you're calling me. And here you are, calling me. See?
Here I am.
Awesome. So, last one, where were you?
Last month, where were I?
Where were you?
Well, let's see, I was, in Louisville, and that was the big one, and Indianapolis, and then just a hair before that, I was doing a string that had, like, Indianapolis and Chicago and a few things like that, so, yeah, I've been hitting the road a little bit, and getting a little bit of traveling.
Well, okay, what was the big one like? What kind of fun did you have? Who did you see? What did you do? Just give it all to me.
Got everything at the big one. That was the one in Louisville. And turned out that it got, like, record heat, like 115-degree heat index that weekend. And
oh, my God.
Unfortunately, the hotel, their AC system broke down in the building I was in.
Of course.
So, yeah, we kind of sizzled. But the turnout was fantastic. I mean, they got about, they were projecting around maybe 5 or maybe even 6, but they actually hit a little more towards 7,000 to the event.
Holy crap.
And it was cool. I mean, it was, like I said, the venue, you know, but if it wasn't for that, it would have been perfect. It was, you know, and next year, they haven't announced the place, I know where it is, but the venue they're moving to next year is fabulous. So they won't have that problem again with inferior hotel, air conditioning systems breaking down.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of like an occupational hazard or something.
Yeah.
You know. It happens. I mean, my God, it's hot out. It's even hot here today. It's like sweltering.
You know, when you work 6 months to prepare for this thing, I was actually one of the track directors. You put like so much time preparing for it. You just want it to go just right.
Yeah.
But that's kind of frustrating. When you get hit by things you can't control. But the things that I could control, I mean, those things turned out to be good from what I heard on the feedback and all. So.
Oh, cool.
But it was definitely a good step, and I think that next summer it's gonna be right where it needs to be.
So is your right hand like all sore now? Is your right hand all sore now from all that signing?
Oh, geez. Last Friday, yeah, was the launch of the brand new book, and we had a great turnout. And that was the hometown event, and I guess you sign a ton of books. I guess you get a little sore.
Well, I'm just thinking, because like they come up, shake your hand, and then you got to sign. And then the next one comes, and it's the same thing over again, but at the end of the day, that poor hand, you got to think.
I'm not jaded. I every person that comes up, I really want to put, a special personalization to it. So I don't...
Well, you take pictures.
I always like to put the, a little message in and personalize it, and I like to, usually I'll put the date and the venue it's at so they can, it's like a keepsake, and, they can always tell where they got it and when. It's kind of what I still can do at this point. I understand why guys like George Martin can't do it, 1,500 people, you know, there. But you know that, you know, I still can handle it. So.
Well, so far.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You type everything though. Like when you're writing your books, you're typing them.
I'm writing. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. See, because if you were doing it the old way, it would A, take forever, and B, you would have hand cramps.
Yeah. But I couldn't read my stuff then, and it would be a disaster, you know, as far as trying to give it to my editor, because nobody alive. But,
have you ever had someone say that when you were writing to them? Like, at the end of the day, do you notice as your writing is just totally sloppy now?
Well, it's sloppy to begin with, so probably, you know, you can't really tell where it breaks down even worse. But it's, but, you know, I think it's barely legible. I think they can understand what I put in there, because most of them, or at least they're polite, and they say they like the messages and stuff, and so hopefully, yeah, they actually can read them. But
cool.
But yeah, it's fun, and I mean, last week was very personal for me, so for a lot of reasons, and so I ended up giving a kind of a real heartfelt presentation, you know, because I'm going to mention this right now and get out of the way, but
okay.
Had a loss in the family recently, and so, you know, I was still under that kind of, you know, vibe, and so it actually became a really heartfelt kind of presentation, and so, you know, the people that were there really helped kind of help me uplift again, and that was cool, you know, and it's great when people, you know, are there to support you and help prop you up again when you're, you know, feeling a little on the downside, so, you know, that...
Well, I'm sorry for your loss, you know, I mean...
Yeah, it's something
a loss.
I've dealt with, you know, I function, that's what I can say. But it's you know, it's great when people show up for you and really try to, you know, help you get back on the road again. So that was cool. I mean, they did come out and in force, and we had a real good turnout, and that was cool. And I really, you know, I don't forget people that show up for things like that. That's something where, you know, I can tell you every single person, even though it was a fairly good sized group. I could tell, you know, I could tell every single person that came that night, just, you know, because, like I said, I have that kind of appreciation for it, so.
Wow.
But
that's a good memory.
It's great to be back on your show again, because I was going to say, you know, this is the one show where you have the freedom to rock and the freedom to talk, you know.
Yeah.
And just give you a little Alice Cooper reference there.
Thank you. And in the same respect, you have so much to tell me, because that was just one of the conferences you were at.
Yeah, we've been at several, and like I said, you know, me being a filmmaker and author, but we've been doing the book thing, we've been showing that short film I told you about last time, the one that's kind of like a medieval fantasy.
How did it go?
Film that I did. The screenings have gone really well. I mean, I've been pleasantly, you know, you're always a little anxious to see how people will take something, but, mm-hmm. You know, so far, the general comments I've gotten back is people find it to be a really quality indie film, you know, as far as, like, you know, they think the production value and the quality of, you know, what we have in it is really solid, so.
Oh, cool.
To me, that's a high compliment, because we did it on a, you know, micro budget, so.
Yeah, in the same respect, I mean.
Great stuff, you know, I do, you know, based on, you know, with the tiny resources we had, I mean, we really did pull off some really cool stuff.
Well, if a critic is telling you something good, then you're okay. It's only when they go off and tell you something bad, then the worry sets in. But if they're saying good stuff, then you're in the clear.
Yeah. That's the usual rule.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they say bad publicity and good publicity, it's the same thing. But I mean, I think when it comes right down to it, you know, especially... Well, with books and movies, I mean, because that's such a personal, you know, it is a personal thing, you know, it's like musicians with songs, the songs are personal, you know, yes, they're writing them for everybody to listen to, but each song had a meaning to somebody in that band, you know?
Sure.
So.
Maybe, I mean, that's intensely very personal.
And I mean, you're writing... you're writing stuff, that's personal stuff. Because it came from you. I mean, it didn't come from anywhere else. You know?
Yeah, the book world is even a little more intensive than that, because, like, when you're doing a novel, I mean, it's like, it's very solitary for a long time. You know, you're working only by yourself for months, you know, or even years, you know. Mm. And then, you know, finally you get to the point where you have your editor and you got, you know, move on to maybe, you know, if you're fortunate, work with your cover artist and things like that. But it's, it's definitely something that really becomes a part of you, you know, and that's how I feel about all my books, for sure. I mean, because it's definitely, you know, definitely something coming from the heart, you know, if you care about it, so.
Yeah. I mean, it has to, though. Otherwise, it would come off as being phony, you know? And I don't think people realize, you know, to write a book, this is not an easy achievement for anybody. Because you're putting down these thoughts, and it all starts off with a bit of a story, you know? But that grows as you're writing. Like, it's not all right there, right at the very beginning. And I don't think people realize or take into consideration, you know, that it starts off with a thought and then grows into this magnificent piece of art, really. You know?
It's a complex thing when you look in hindsight. It's funny, when I'm going through it, you really don't, you know, get too daunted, because, you know, I don't sit there and panic, because, you know, I'm only on page 10 of something that's going to be, you know, 600 pages or whatever. But it's definitely something that, yeah, you're right, it germinates from a basic framework, and then you tweak it and grow it and expand it and develop, you know, little offshoots, and, you know, by the time you're done, yeah, it's a big thing. But, you know, it's definitely a labor of love, because certainly no author other than the people, you know, at the very top of the New York Times list are really making any money. So it's something you got, you know, if you're doing it, you know, you're doing it because you love it.
So that changed, too, for authors. You guys aren't getting the same kind of pay you used to get?
Well, I tell you what, the publishing world is being hit right now with the same thing that affected the musicians first, and then hit the filmmakers next, just the whole digital influx. So the authors now are discovering the joys of what the musicians discovered when, you know, now the e-books are, you know, being downloaded as torrents, and, you know, and then the physical stores are disappearing, just like the record store is disappearing, just like the MP3s that, you know, were pirated. It's the same kind of process going on, and yeah, it can get frustrating, because you dial in, find out, you know, 10,000 people, you know, got kind of free copy of your book or whatever, but,
wow.
You know, and you're struggling hard to try to just sustain yourself, and yeah, that gets real frustrating to see, but it's, you know, it's just part of how things are right now. I mean, it's the same, yeah, we were, I guess, as authors were the last group to go through that, because the film group went through it a couple of years ago, and the music people were probably the first, you know, to go through that transition to the, you know, the digital world, which, you know, brings its own positives, but I think it also brought a number of negatives, too, you know, and it's, you know, it's just what it is, you know, you got to deal with it.
Yeah, but it kind of takes, there again, the art that people should be paying for ends up free. And the artist, you know, I don't know. I mean, it makes you wonder why we do it, but in the same respect, if nobody does it, then that's going to be a really sad place to be. You know?
Well, it's just like I say, you know, it's like if a friend of mine has a restaurant, I don't expect to go in there and get a free meal. If my friend has a hardware store, I don't expect to go in there and get free tools or anything like that. So when, you know, you're a writer, a musician, or a filmmaker, you know, people shouldn't expect to, you know, get it for free, you know? I mean,
yeah.
'Cause, you know, we don't expect to go into anybody else's place of business and get free stuff. And, you know, it's just that, you know, there is that little bridge that I think still needs to be crossed a little bit, but it's it's just tough to combat, because it's so easy to, you know, pirate something, and you cannot stop it. I mean, you really can't. You can try. it's takes up far too much time. You know, it ends up.
Well, you have to find it first.
Yeah.
And the internet is almost infinite.
It's on 20 more, you know. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Jeez. I never thought about it that way, you know. I mean, it's for everything. Every single thing is getting hit. You know?
But, you know, on the good side, you know, I mean, people, you know, are traveling and stuff with their Kindles and their Nooks and all that good stuff. You know, they can get your book fast and, you know, and it is a little bit more affordable. The prices are generally less than print. And, you know, and that encourages people to try out new authors sometimes that they wouldn't try out before. So, they, you know, there's definitely some positives. I mean, I still like my books, you know, I still feel better when I have a book in my hand, but you know, I definitely see the value of it, and you know, and I do, you know, appreciate the whole ebook world, but yeah, I am a print guy. I like print. Well, then again, I've always been tangible. I still love vinyl.
There you have it. There you have it. See, you're an old-fashioned guy.
I prefer to think timeless.
Timeless. That's a good one. We'll use timeless.
Hey, you know, Best Buy down here in the States. I mean, you can find vinyl now in
one. Oh, really?
So, see, yeah, things make comebacks, and I think after everything shakes out, I think print books will still have their place because they're collectible. You know, it's something you can collect. It's got, you know, a certain value to it, something that ebooks can't possibly have. You know, the collectibility factor, and
well, and people's computers crash.
Going to last, may not be as big, but it'll last. You know.
Yeah. I mean, if you lose it on your hard drive, it's gone. You know, you can't go and reach for the book. You didn't buy it.
Right.
You know, maybe that'll be the end all be all of what, you know, makes people buy the book again.
Yeah.
They get tired of losing it, you know?
Yeah.
We could hope, for your sake.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, one of these days I have to get you one of my hardcovers because they are just gorgeous. I mean, I just love them. I mean, and I mean, because the group that does our stuff just does such a fabulous job. A guy named Matt Perry, who does all my cover art and interior illustrations, he does such a fabulous job with, you know, designing the book layouts, and they really do look nice. I mean, they're really, really sharp. So
cool.
He does, you know, the layouts for other authors that are with Seven Star Press, and he does. So yeah, one of these days I'll have to get you one of those because they are really, really cool.
Cool. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd probably...
And show you some of the art component that's in my books, which is a little unique, you know, because they do have, you know, sets of illustrations in them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a full set of fantasy art in each of the books. And
wow.
As of now, between my five books, Matt has done almost 50 full pieces of artwork that are in these books.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a whole body of artwork that's been developing alongside the books themselves, and I think that's really cool because I get comments all the time from readers that really dig that kind of added value, you know, to the books, and they are, the illustrations are in the ebooks too, but
oh, cool.
Yeah, they just look great on the print versions.
Oh, I'm sure. Print's always, I mean, it just looks, it's got that look. You know, it's computer and real. I don't know. I prefer real too.
But you like going through vinyl albums and looking at the covers and stuff. I mean, it's
yeah. I haven't seen mine for ages. Actually, I haven't even looked at records in a long time because, well, when do I have time? I don't have time.
I understand.
I just feel like
it's always fun looking at album art, and I think that's what drove album art to heights, was the fact that, you know, it was a tangible, easy to kind of you know, display medium with the vinyl. And I, you know, I'm glad they, you know, people still care about that, and, you know, even with the CDs and stuff. But
you can never get that vinyl feel
world
off a CD, though. You know, you can't.
Right.
I mean, thus listening to music on a totally different level. Really. Just the sound of it, the quality of it. You can't duplicate that. And I'm glad you can't, in a way. Because then we would never need vinyl. You know?
Yeah, I've had friends that didn't believe me, and I've pulled out things that I have in both CD and vinyl and played them side by side, and they've been like, yeah, there is a difference.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge difference.
It really is true, yeah.
It's a huge difference. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of people don't even realize that themselves.
No.
Because they've never tried it.
A lot of people don't.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, when I did it the first time, did a comparison, I just couldn't believe how big the difference was. And you know, since then, you know, of course, I appreciate that. And, you know, because, you know me, I'm a huge metal hard rock fan. By the way, thank you for leading into me with nothing less than Metal in Your Face, Slayer, and then Zero King. That was awesome. Like, heck yeah. Let's talk about an intro.
See?
That blew me away, you know.
Oh.
Finishing out my boys in Zero King there. God, they're blowing up right now, doing some really good things.
Well, I'm happy for them. I hope they have a lot of good stuff happening, you know. That's why I'm here.
Give Andy a lot of crap, though, because he missed my signing last Friday. He was supposed to be there, and I was gonna highlight the band, and we were going to give out some Zero King stuff, and they couldn't get out of their hometown to Lexington until it was too late to reach, you know, our venue, and they had to go straight to their show
Andy, that night.
But yeah, be sure to give Andy some little rub to the elbow or something.
I think we just did.
Missing me. Yeah, you tell him I requested Zero King tonight too.
Well, you just did, technically.
Yeah. So yeah, you tell him. Yeah, make him feel guilty.
Well, he should feel guilty. I mean, he was invited and everything. All he had to do was show up.
I was gonna highlight him, and I have a lot, and people don't believe it, but there are a lot of metal hard rock people that read the genre that I write, you know, fantasy, modern day fantasy, thrillers, dark fantasy, that kind of thing. And yeah, I mean, I have, you know, I've metalheads in my crowd. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Quite a few.
That's what you need, though.
Yeah, I could.
I mean, if you didn't have them, your books might not have turned out the same.
No.
You know?
No, because I've always said, like we talked about last time, the genres go together. I mean, it's uncanny. I mean, how fantasy imagery works its way into metal and hard rock and vice versa. And you know, it's amazing, you know, how the two really correlate. And how many of the musicians are, you know, big readers, and how many of the writers are big fans of bands. And it's, yeah, there's definitely a bridge there.
Well, a musician's life. I mean, you're on a bus, or you're in a van. You know, you got to have something to read, or do, because otherwise you're pretty bored. Unless everybody's, well, usually day one, everybody's talking, and then day two, it's like nobody's talking. So, that's usually when you have a book or something else to occupy yourself with. Otherwise, you're bored as hell. But you don't want to talk either, usually on day number two.
In the book world, it's a very one-on-one kind of thing. It engages you in a personal way that no video game, no film, no other type of entertainment has the same kind of vibe as a book. And I love all the other things too, don't get me wrong, but as far as entertainment, but yeah, books have a unique connection to you, you know, and in that one-on-one kind of thing between a reader and a author, and that's kind of cool. And you know, and I think that, you know, I think musicians can, you know, sometimes relate to that, you know, kind of, you know, that connection level of it. So you know, that's you know, because that's what they're doing with their music, you know, and a kind of personal connection with a fan. So, you know, I think that, yeah, that kind of appeals to a lot of them, too.
I like the fact that you remember everyone's name. See, I could never do that. Not because I don't want to. Just because my brain's not capable. I forget my own name.
You are a media celebrity, so you probably have to deal with a lot more people than I do.
Yeah, but it's really these last few years I've been going, my God, wait, who am I today? You know, it's like there's so many people, and then there's like all the things that I do because I'm in more bands now, you know, so it's like separating even myself, never mind separating the people, like trying to remember which band member is from which band, you know?
Awesome.
Like I'm sitting there going,
I think it's time for you to get a personal
oh my God.
Assistant.
Yeah, but see, as soon as you involve somebody else, you lose track. Even more so. Like, you almost had track, and then you had somebody else in the fold, and you, there's no turning back. You don't know what's going on anymore. You just.
Trust me, I have days like that too. Where you kind of have to stop and think about what day of the week it is, and
every day.
Oh my God, I've got this and this and this and this and this and this and this to do, and oh man, you know, yeah, especially, well, yeah, I can relate. I'm not so on top of things. I can't relate to that. But.
Exactly. I mean, you got to know how many days you need to travel to where you're traveling to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you're going pretty much all on your own dime to each venue,
yep.
Right?
Yep, that's the big risk.
It's not.
Yeah, that's what I always, you know, tell me when they buy a book for me at a convention. It's helping me make that little gap of expense. You know, we don't make, you know, great money at these things. And
well, that technically gets you back home, right?
Cost and, yeah.
That gets you back home, right?
Right, yeah. It's your dad's money. It's not, I'm not joking when I tell people that at conventions. It's just like a band. I mean, you really are. You're working for your gas money and your food money and your hotel, and it's a rough existence. I mean, be quite frank, and, you know, sometimes. And, you know, and that's like, you know, when people, you know, decide to, you know, go ahead and pick up something from you, it really does help. I mean, it really does when you're at a show.
See, I don't think people knew this. I honestly don't. Because they're just thinking, you're there, you get paid to be there, you get...
That's what a lot of people do think, and it's so funny. I keep asking to re-educate everyone. I'm like, no, I said, you know, not unless you're Stephen King, you know, you're not getting paid to be there.
See, and that blows my mind.
You're right.
You know, probably blows their minds because, I mean, they were just assuming, you know?
Right.
And to find out
that, right on.
You know, you guys are writing books for like years. It's not 10 minutes of writing. This is like years of labor on some of these books. And then at the end of it, you literally have to busk. That's you're there with your guitar case. That's
that's true. That is a very good metaphor. That's a brilliant metaphor. I mean, you really, really are, you know. And it's a tough one, you know, sometimes.
Well, and that's
you know,
hard copy books. I mean, those are more expensive. Why? Because it's a hard copy. You know,
and we have to buy them to have them with us on the road, so we've already.
And you have to put that money up front, just like bands have to. You know, if they've got merch, they had to buy it first.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever realized it's literally exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people think, oh yeah, you must get those free from your publisher to sell. No.
Well, you don't get nothing for free.
Wholesale price. We might get a wholesale price to buy
if you're
them,
lucky.
But yeah, we still have to buy them, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not free.
No. Nothing's for free these days.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
The gas has not helped at all down here. I don't know how Canadian gas prices have been, but here...
Oh, they're just as crappy.
Yeah, spiked up a lot, so...
Well, they've got to make up for... all the crop they've caused. So, I mean, your economy is screwed because of the wars. You know, I mean, that just sucked money right out of your whole country, literally.
Oh, yeah, I think that's actually one of the themes in my book series, of the new book that just came out. You know, part of the thing that's wrecking the country that's very much like America that's in the book is the fact that they're embroiled and entangled in these wars, and one big one breaks out that kind of pushes things over the edge in the Seventh Throne, the book three that I just released. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, you got a weak, things are weakening, and, you know, then something big hits it, and, yeah, things can fracture pretty quickly, and that's kind of what the series has in it. I mean, it's fantasy. I mean, urban fantasy or modern fantasy, but, yeah, there's a warning bell in it, too, you know, and a lot of readers of mine have really picked up on that, you know, as far as some of the modern-day trends and so forth.
Nice. You want to plug your websites? Because we've hit that mark.
Oh, no.
Yep. There it was, gone. See?
God. StephenZimmer.com. It's just Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, I spell with a P-H, Z-I-M-M-E-R, and it's just StephenZimmer.com. It's just my name. Or you can find me on Facebook at S-G Zimmer, or Twitter at S-G Zimmer. That's another place you can find me pretty easy. And, yeah, I mean, that's, I love hearing from people, and please friend me or have me on Twitter, and, yeah, connect with me for sure.
Awesome. I'll have you back, because I know you got more to tell me.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to raise my fist and yell again.
Okay. Awesome. Take care of yourself.
I'm on that raise your fist and yell kick. I love that album.
Take care of yourself. Thanks
all
a billion.
Right, you take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh. See? Authors. They're just like musicians. Who'd have known, right? I know. Black September. Tombs.